KFSR presents First Ladies Focus, the personal stories behind people who love Fresno State. Featuring Fresno State's First Lady, Mrs. Mary Castro, and KFSR Program Director, Julie Logan, 90.7 KFSR.
Good morning and welcome. I'm Julie Logan, along with my co-host, Fresno State's First Lady, Mrs. Mary Castro. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning, Julie.
We're excited to have another very special guest with us today. I'll let you make the introductions.
Well, I'm very excited to share with all of our listeners the story about Fresno State University's photographer, Carrie Edmondson. Thank you for being here this morning.
Thanks for having me.
Many people have seen your photographs and are amazed by your talent. You just recently won a fourth Case Award. Can you tell us what the Case Awards are and then describe the photo that won you this award?
Sure. The Case is, I think it stands for Council for Support and Advancement of Education, but basically it's the biggest award that going on in the university system. So it's not just an art or communications award. It's basically they have, you know, divisions all the way through from, you know, like campaign. I think we got an award for our campaign drive.
Yes.
So it's basically throughout the university-wide system. So it's pretty respected, you know, in the university world. So yeah, I got my fourth one for individual photograph of the year for a photo of Devontae Adams.
Wow, four of them. And the first three came when?
The first three were at Cal State Stanislaus. That was my job prior to coming to Fresno State. So I had a Grand Gold Award for photographer of the year. And then the following year, I got individual photo of the year and photographer of the year second place awards.
I'm thinking you should consider this as a line of work.
Oh, wait. Yeah, you're right.
And you topped 95 other entries to win the gold.
Yeah, that was a surprise. It was a pretty good amount of entries.
That sounds real competitive. I know that you came up with the idea of throwing water on everybody, basically. It sounds like a prank that a kid would do, but for you, it's turned out to be pretty great. What sparked that idea?
You know, actually, I saw, you know, not to take all the credit, I saw BYU do gymnastics shoots with water years back. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't think they had a slogan to go with it, but I know that Fresno State's big on the red wave.
Yes.
So originally I was thinking, what can I do with red water? You know, and I was trying to go that route. But I tried a few of those things in Photoshop because we did a, you know, a test shoot with one of our student assistants to see if my idea would even work. But then we saw the potential there. And we decided to leave it alone with just water in the chute and use Catch the Wave as the slogan. And the athletes seemed to love the chutes because they just kept saying, when's it our turn? When's it our turn? And in years past, I don't think we had, you know, ever experienced that before. So it was pretty neat to get the athletes, you know, as excited about the photo shoots, you know, as the fans were.
And weren't there different challenges depending on the sport with trying to catch it? I heard that track and field, you had a lot of fun with that one.
I don't know how you got that information, but you're right.
Never underestimate Mary Castro.
My student assistant basically wanted to take on the track and field assignment because most of our shoots were done in the amphitheater. Because to do a shoot with water and to stop that action, you basically need a lot of darkness and then have your lights take over. The track coach wanted us to go out to the track and, you know, in the field there. And I was like, I don't know if this is going to work. But my student, you know, James Ramirez, bless his heart, he said, we can do this. And so what ended up happening was we had about seven guys holding up pole vault sticks or, you know, up to the pole vault stand that they go over there and they're trying to block the sun.
Oh, my goodness.
Onto our photo shoot.
Oh,
and it was just, you know, we had to park a golf cart because the wind started blowing and putting things up and the golf cart started lifting on the ground. And it was a big. It was a big mess, but I think my student learned a lesson that, you know, it's better if they come to our area than we go out there. So.
Well, he had a lot of faith in you. He figured that you could pull it off what the challenge.
It was his photo shoot because, you know, it's funny. A lot of people think that we can just make magic, you know, no matter where we are. And I'm like,
Right. Sometimes
you have to be lighting and backgrounds are basically, you know, almost all of your photos. So you can't take pictures in the sun when you need it to be completely dark. So that was a big lesson.
Did James stop making promises on your behalf?
He did. It took him a week because he's very stubborn. But a week passed by and he was looking at his photos. And he's like, I should have listened to you.
How many hours were you guys out there?
Longer than usual. I mean, that was probably at least a two-hour shoot. I mean, you know, there were six athletes, 2 hours. Not too bad in some people's minds, but I think typically we do about three athletes in about 30 to 45 minutes on stage. So not too bad.
Were there any other sports that were challenging like that? Did you do it for the equestrian team with the water?
We didn't. They actually came in and, you know, I told them the one place we could probably go is out by the O'Neill Park, you know, inside the, I can't remember what you call that place, but it was indoors. And they said, if you can find outlets, you know, and we can get, you know, some kind of water, maybe you guys go and make it look like it's raining on you guys while you're doing your shoot. But they never contacted me. So I was worried about them the most, though, because I knew that would have been the most challenging. But otherwise, I'm trying to think what was the most challenging. Volleyball was pretty challenging, I think. That was another one of James' shoots. But football was obviously the first one of the year. And our experiments were on Derek Carr and Jerron Smith. So they were our guinea pigs. And then after
they were good sports. Huh?
They were good sports. They actually enjoyed it because it was so hot. I was more worried about once the winter came, you know, and we were starting promoting like baseball and softball because they had to shoot in the cold.
Ooh.
And, the girls for the softball team, they were just freezing. But, you know, but you know what? It's funny because I think, well, maybe they didn't want to do the shoot, but they wanted to do the shoot and they didn't care how cold it was.
Once you see an example of that kind of photograph and you're sold, which, by the way, is on the KFSR Facebook page to take a look at what we're talking about in case listeners don't understand what we're talking about as far as the water.
And then another part of this year that was really exciting was that you won the two Sports Illustrated covers.
Yeah, that was off the bucket list now. I couldn't believe that actually happened.
Because four case awards is not enough, Mary.
No.
We need to forge ahead.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, let's go back to the beginning. You were born in Fresno and you lived in Clovis throughout college. You have an older sister. And tell us your sister's name. And she also works here at Fresno State.
Yeah, two parents, obviously. And then my sister is over here at Fresno State, Christy. She's a couple years older than me, works in the speech unit over there.
You said she's the director of the Speech, Language, and Hearing Clinic.
Yes, thank you for the reminder on that. Yeah, so she's just celebrating her year anniversary here. And, you know, she loves it so far and, you know, making a lot of good friends. And I'm getting to know a lot of people in her department as well. And so I'm getting more photo requests from the speech area.
That's great. And so what type of things did you like to do growing up?
I was a sports maniac. it's funny because, you know, you look at kids these days and they try to keep them off like video games or anything on TV or LCD screens. It's like when I was growing up, it was just play basketball every day I could. I would play in 100 degree weather, you know, or football, baseball, didn't matter. And I think that carried over in the future to the photography, obviously, because I just wanted to capture it if I wasn't playing it too. So a lot of that, my parents will tell you stories about how I was a whiz with puzzles. I don't remember that as much as well as they do, but they said that I, like some people put the borders around the puzzles first, but for me, I would just start filling it in everywhere and it'd be done, you know, before you know it. So I think a lot of that carries over too with the photography, because I try to tell people a lot of what I do is not just that, like, I see a great picture. It's like you line up the elements, you know, I have a background, I have light over here, I need my subjects to react here. And so then it's like, you know, you put all the pieces together and make a picture.
Well, it sounds like you had that natural instinct that started a long time ago.
Yeah, there's a left brain, right brain thing going on there that we need like a psychologist to. Yeah. But yeah, you could have probably been a nuclear physicist or something, but we like your photographs.
That might pay better.
I don't know. You keep getting those Sports Illustrated covers. Yeah. You're going to be doing pretty well. Now, you started off at Fresno City College, and that's where you got an AA, and that was your path to Fresno State. After you changed majors, what did you originally start out studying when you were at Fresno City College?
Fresno City College, just to, you know, get the general education out of the way, because my parents, you know, asked me if I wanted to go to Fresno State right away, and I said, you know, I really don't know what I want to do, so I don't want to waste anyone's money. Let's just go to City College. And then it got scary because, you know, you graduate from City College and you're like, okay, I still don't know what I want to do. But a lot of it was my own blockage that I was putting in, you know, in my mind that, like, oh, I can't be an art major because you don't, you know, it's hard to get an art job and make money in that world. So I kind of, you know, I should have probably just gone straight into art, but it took a while. I bounced around and eventually ended up in the studio art world.
And you started out with an emphasis on painting and drawing. Do you still do that?
I don't. You know, funny story from Fresno State. I was in intermediate drawing class and the professor was walking by one of my drawings and she told me, you can't draw like that. And I go, what do you mean I can't draw? Like, why can't I draw like this?
How
She's
are
like,
you drawing?
She said, you're too detailed. It's too detailed. And she said, you might as well be a photographer. And I, you know,
what?
I got so mad that I dropped out of her class. But, you know, it's funny.
You must have been very good at it then if it was that detailed.
Well, I mean, was she kidding? I don't get it.
No. She was serious because she wanted me to start like moving my elbows and, you know, go really high and go low and get all over the place. And I was the exact opposite. I was like drawing tight, precise.
She was probably trying to teach you some theory and you were getting into details.
Well, yeah.
She wasn't ready for you to go there.
What she didn't realize was I was trying. But I guess my version of, you know, trying was a little looser and hers was like, I need a lot more. But it's funny because I laugh at that now because it turns out she was right.
She was right.
That's funny.
You ended up being an excellent photographer. Yeah. So after you graduated from Fresno State, you got a job as a photo editor for the Collegian. Is that when you developed your long-term friendship with Eddie Hughes?
Yes, the Eddie Hughes story and the Eddie Hughes gang, the man who knows everyone, it seems like. Yes.
Well, we had him as a guest here a couple weeks back, and he had a fantastic story to tell about, you know, the friendships that he made while he was here that he still keeps in contact with people. And one of our first interviews when President Castro and I arrived here on the campus was spending a day with you and Eddie.
Yeah.
And we were both so impressed with the both of you and your passion for what you do and your passion for the campus. And, it, you know, going into a new environment and then all the, oh, these guys are going to hang out with you all day and observe you. You know, in your natural habitat.
Oh, nice.
Kind of funny. But then, you know, by the end of the day, we're sharing ice cream with them at Superior Dairy, and they're walking all around the fields in Hanford, and it was a great experience, and thank you for making that so comfortable for us.
Yeah, I mean, that's part of the job is, you know, you've seen now, you joked earlier about how I love taking candids, but, you know, I do like my favorite job, you know, is probably seeing how people, you know, do what they do, so I try not to arrange anything, try not to set anything up, you know, just let things happen naturally and keep your distance, because some photographers like to dive in there and just like be in your face, but for me I'm like, I don't think you can feel as comfortable or have the same things happen if you know, if I didn't let that happen. So that was a fun day. I mean, it was pretty easy. You guys, you know, it's funny because some people are very like, oh my God, there's a camera. But you guys are very, you know, easygoing and just let the day happen. And, you know, we got some good natural looking pictures that day.
You also do a good job of being in the background. And
yeah. I'm way over in the corner.
Yeah. Way over in the corner. But also you have a great sense of humor. And, you know, when you do want to give us direction or you need something from us, you do it in a way that, you know, it doesn't feel intrusive. And we really appreciate that, especially with having our family.
Yeah.
And there are times when you've been there to take pictures when we have our little guy with us and just, you know, being sensitive to us wanting to protect things for him.
Yeah.
It makes a big deal. So was there an aha moment with you when you realized, or did you look at a photograph and say, wow, I took this?
Yeah, but it's actually it's kind of a depressing story at the same time. I'll tell it to you. You know, because some of the assignments I started off doing was just, you know, I walked in the Collegian one day and, you know, I said, what do I need to do to be a photographer? And they need help. So they're just like, oh, whatever you want to shoot. So I shot sports. Well, my second ever football game that I shot was Fresno State versus Boise State in like, I think it was 2002. Don't quote me if I have the year wrong, but it was the year that we were like eighth in the nation and Derek's Carr David was the quarterback.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm a rookie photographer still trying to learn the ropes, and I ended up having a really good game. But my first ever newspaper cover for the Collegian was David Carr fumbling the ball. And it says, Destiny Slips Away. So at the same time, I was very proud of the picture.
Yeah.
Because I have this great shot. Everyone else went down to the other end, was shooting other things. But I was like taking chances, trying to get, you know, I had some advice that like, don't always shoot where everyone is. Because if that's true, then you might be the only guy that gets the shot if it happens. Well, that was one of those moments because I was behind the line of scrimmage. He fumbles, runs towards me trying to pick up the ball as it's fumbling all over the place. I make the cover. And then I think I had two photos on the back page. But as sad as that is, it was also a time, like you're saying, the aha moment, because I was like, wow, it looks like I might be good at this, you know, but a part of me was like, but I really wish we would have won the game, you know, like I would have given up the cover, you know, because that was the highest I think we've ever been ranked. And ask any one of our friends like Eddie or these guys that are diehard Bulldog fans. I mean, our dream is to see the team in a BCS game someday.
So it was a bittersweet moment for you.
Yes, you could say that. It was like, oh, I got the cover. But then it's like,
a great photo.
Documenting exactly what I didn't want to have happen.
I know. Right. Exactly.
So you mentioned somebody giving you great advice. Who are some mentors who have really been there to give you those insider tips that have helped you to perfect your skill?
Yeah, two of them are Fresno State people from the Collegian, and they're both still really successful photographers today. One's Justin Case Condor. He works for a company called Rustic Pathways. He travels the world for like 3 months of the year. It's like, I think high school kids, you know, exploring, you know, other countries and things like that. So he's a big player in that company. And then Jill Richards was the photo editor at the time. And she works in Arizona, has her own company now. But, you know, she does a lot of, you know, I think the state, she does a lot of jobs with the state of Arizona. And then also a lot of restaurants, you know, food type of photography. And then, you know, following that, it's basically just, you know, trying to keep your mind open to all the other photographers you run into and seeing what they're good at and trying to, you know, be a sponge. Uh-huh. So when I went to Florida, that was my second job out of college at the Naples Daily News. And they had a photography staff of like 8 or 9 people, and they were all hot shots in my, like, I went there and I'm like, what am I doing here? You know, because
how did I get in this?
Yeah, because, you know, they fly you out on a plane. I remember thinking, like, why is somebody paying to fly me over, you know, to the other side of the country, you know? And I'm not, you know, it's like, this is pretty cool. But it was an awesome staff, because they still had the humbleness. Like, they weren't so rock star that they're not going to, like, you know, we don't need to help you, because they told me when I got there, yeah, your portfolio is pretty raw. You can tell that, you know, you still have some things to work on, but you can tell that you had like a lot of talent, and, you know, so they took me on as like that project, I guess you could say.
They recognize your talent right away.
I think they knew that, like, oh, he has something. He just needs to fine tune it. And that's what Florida was for me. That was a fine tuning phase.
Do you find that photographers in general do help pass positive information back and forth, or is it really competitive?
50-50. Yeah, I guess it just depends on the person and the personality. I mean, you'll go to, when I shoot football games and you have to go and get the coach's handshake at the end, you are in a war of photographers sometimes, and people do not care if they, you know, bowl you over. And it's
physical?
It's intentional sometimes. I mean, you'll have the shot. I remember last year when Seattle played the 49ers, you know, it's one of the biggest games we have each year. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm charging out to try and get Colin Kaepernick. And, you know, I had the angle I wanted. And next thing you know, boom, I'm knocked over to my right. Handshake happens. I get more of a Kaepernick shot, but not as much as the other quarterback. So you are just in a war, and you got it. It's hard to be aware of your surroundings because there's so many things moving at the same time. So to answer the question, I mean, sometimes, yeah, you get some people that love to help you out and they want to give you all the advice in the world. Then you got the people that think like, oh, I don't want this guy taking my job.
Right.
So they want to keep you down. But there's so many photographers out there that, you know, you can kind of weed out who you want to hang out with and who you don't.
Who you want to be around.
Yeah.
So your first photo job outside of school was as a photographer for the Selma Enterprise, and you worked there for about 1.5 years, and you said that you won a few statewide awards. What kind of photographs did you win awards with through the newspaper?
Yeah, Selma Enterprise, close to Hanford's, kind of. So yeah, I was the only photographer / photo editor there, and after, I don't know how many months, I mean, 9 months, we had to put in for our first competition, and it was actually a photo that I was hoping would win. I wasn't sure if it was, but the biggest, I got a first place photo of the year for documentary, I think, or news photography. And it was from a fire that took place at a woman's home just near Selma. And I remember going out there, and it was like kind of what you're saying earlier. I was trying to stay out of the way because I thought this is a very touchy feeling moment where somebody might be losing their house right now, because it was, it was close enough to where you could get near. It was more smoky than it was like burning to the ground. But, I guess the woman came home from work. She had her apron on and she just came running, like, you know, trying to find her son, you know, what's happening to her home kind of thing, what happened. And then they found their dogs moved to the side by the firemen. And so one of the dogs had passed away, and I guess, you know, they were animal lovers. So then she's trying to give mouth to mouth resuscitation to the dog.
Oh my God.
So then, you know, from a distance, they realized that the little puppy had died. And so she's sitting there on a tractor crying. Dead dog, and her son has his hands in his head, and they're just like, they lost, you know, it almost looks like they lost more than they, I mean, they lost a dog, which is not good, but, you know, it was a really sad moment. I shot from a distance, tried to, you know, give them their privacy in a way, but they ran that on the cover of our newspaper, and that got me the first place award. So it was a little bit, it's like you had a couple comments of controversy, like, how could you put this on the front cover of the Selma Enterprise? But then you had a lot of people going like, that's a moment, you know, that like brought out a lot of emotion in them. So, I mean, that's what you got to do as a photographer. But yeah, I was definitely like, I'm keeping my distance, you know, they just deserve that much, you know. So, but that was the one I remember.
Is it experience that helps you to be able to detach from the situation? Because I would think your instinct is to help, but what your job is to document it. Is that something that you learn to do better over time?
Honestly, if it was somebody's life depended on it, I would throw the camera away and just help them. I mean, I think it's a gauge on what exactly is happening, because when there's firemen and there's other people around and people that are, you know, it's like, we all have jobs that we're good at. They're better at it than me. If I could lend a hand, I might defy that world and like, okay, I'm going to help out because, you know, something tragic's happening. But if there's nothing I can do to make the situation better, then you do just kind of, it's almost like you're watching TV, I guess. You're like separated. Even football games, baseball games, you're, people are like, oh, you must love being in the, you know, on the ground, on the field, you know, how's it this and that. And I'm like, sometimes I don't even look at the play like you do. Like, I'm looking at quarterback's eyes, glancing where he's looking, trying to find the guy on the route that he's going to throw to. It's like a completely different way than just watching a game at home on TV. You know, like,
so during the game, you're trying to calculate where the athlete is going to go next and where you need to be to capture it. You don't get to really just enjoy, hey, he's getting ready to score.
That was my biggest mistake about the game that I brought up earlier, was the one that we lost to Boise State, because it was my second game ever. Uh-huh. And after the game was over, I was almost just standing there in disbelief and sadness when I should have been taking pictures of our guys, probably sad, but I was in such disbelief that I got lost in the moment. So I've learned to be better about, like, you still need to document what's going on and stay focused. Yeah.
So then you got a job as a photographer at the Naples Daily News in Florida. So did you move to Florida, or were you able to do that remotely?
No, I moved all the way over there. That's first time I've ever left the valley at all. You know, it was like, you know, I remember having a goodbye party with my family and crying like crazy, even to say goodbye to my friends and my family, because you have this mental thing in your mind, like, I'm not going to see them, you know, hardly ever.
Right.
You know, and it's your whole life up to, I think at the time I must have been 27 years old, I think. And so, you know, that was big. I ended up coming home sooner than I expected, you know, just because I think I liked the West Coast a lot better. But
if you'd only known it was only going to be a year and a half.
Yeah, then I wouldn't have cried.
You're like, oh, I'll see you.
Yeah.
And then you went to Las Vegas after that?
Las Vegas, yep.
So you worked your way back towards California. You didn't just come straight back.
Yeah, right. I went to Vegas first. That was more of a photo editor role. You know, I think we had four photographers under us and some freelancers. But yeah, very lively place, a lot of events to cover. Ours was more of a family and newspaper, which is surprising when you hear Vegas. But we covered all of the suburban area around Vegas. And then the cool part was, though, if some people that lived in these towns, you know, had shows or things that they did on the Strip, then you could actually shoot that as well. So it was a really cool spot. A lot of, you know, young families. You get to meet a lot of our journalists were all in the same age, too, like recent college grads. You could tell it was like a lot of people's first newspaper job. So it was a really cool fit over there in Vegas.
How long were you there?
It was only a year. I was getting worried about the newspaper industry, though. I'm sure if you talk to people today, the internet changed a lot of the newspaper world. Mm-hmm. So I was trying to think of, you know what, I don't know if I want to be in newspapers, because I love documenting. That's like my favorite thing to do. But I was scared because it's a bad paying job. It's a lot of crazy work hours, you know, from weekends to nights. So you really don't know your schedule too often. And I don't know how many jobs are going to be around, because they've really cut back significantly since I've been in the industry.
So from Vegas, you came to CSU Stanislaus in Turlock, and you worked there for 4.5 years. And that's where you actually received your first of 3 case awards for different photographs that you took. Were they all sports?
No, sports, yeah, nothing. I haven't really won too many sports awards, to be honest. Most of them have been for the news or the university. Yeah, that was, I think, for Photographer of the Year was the 2009, I think. I'm not sure if that was the right year, but that got me the Photographer of the Year on the international level out of the university system. So basically, you submit like 15 photographs, and that was a variety. You know, it was from events, from students learning to portraits, and maybe a couple sports in the mix, too.
Mm-hmm. So then, hooray, you came back to Fresno State September of 2011. And that's when you had just received a gold award for Photograph of the Year for one of the water shots. So as soon as you got here, that's when you started thinking about a new way of shooting the athletes.
Yeah.
Is this the water theme going to continue, or are you trying to think of something different that you're going to do? Do you have to mix it up?
What's next? Smoke? Fire?
I don't know if we can talk about that on the air. I wanted to go with Be Bold, to be honest. I kind of wanted to follow President Castro's lead with the Be Bold and like just throw it out, Be Bold, Be a Bulldog. I think athletics wants to keep it as Catch the Wave. So we'll see how that plays out. I know how I want to shoot the photos, you know, so hopefully, you know, they go better with Be Bold, I think, but we're just waiting on uniforms to come in right now for football before we can get started.
He doesn't want to give up any trade secrets, I think.
Right.
I don't want you to give it up either, but I was just wondering if that was something that, I mean, because it has been so successful and popular, if you felt pressure to continue it, or if you get excited about trying something different.
I get excited because if it was up to me, I'd change things every year. I mean, it's hard at a university because when you compare it to our sport, for sports I'm talking about, but I'll go to a Golden State Warriors game. They have their own campaign. Then that season's over and you go into baseball. They have a new campaign for the Giants or the A's. So for university, you have a whole year that you're using the same slogan. So I think that's that's plenty of time to get it out in 1 year. And then it's like, you know what, we need to change it up the next year. So I'd like each year to have a new, you know, because I think the fans are always wanting like, what's new? What's new? What's coming out now?
Right.
Even like the uniforms last year, we got black uniforms. The place was going crazy just to see what are these uniforms.
And those helmets.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah. And I think we have something new coming this year too. So I'd like to just keep it fresh each year and just do some new creative shots.
In addition to all the work that you do here for the campus, you also do work on the side. You have done some destination weddings, and you're a contract photographer for US Today Sports. What is the process for someone to become a contract photographer?
Well, sometimes it's just one of those who you know kind of situations. For me, it was just in case Condor, he wasn't as big of a sports guy, and he had jobs with him, but he hated driving to the Bay Area for work. So when I lived in Turlock, I got in really good because it was a little bit less of a drive, like an hour and a half each way to go to either Sacramento, to Oakland, to San Francisco. And basically, it's you really go out there and you got to nail it on your first game.
Mm.
My first time was a San Francisco Giants game for them, and baseball is probably my least favorite to photograph just because you don't know if it's going to be a very action-packed game or if it could be a very slow pitcher's duel with not much going on. So I think I put more pressure on myself than I needed to, but for the most part, what they want to see is, are you focusing? Are you getting your captions right? No misspellings. They don't want errors. They don't want things that are like going to make them look bad. So that's the one thing I paid attention to the most. So I shot the first game, and then after that, they're basically, you know, you put in a schedule and you get some assignments.
Yeah. That's great. Well, you recently took a trip to Italy, which was your honeymoon. It was a delayed honeymoon. Tell us about your wife and about some of the exciting things that you were able to photograph while you were in Italy.
Well, that's a lot in one question, Mary.
I know.
Well, I met my wife online dating, if you can believe it. So met her.
You posted a great picture.
Of course I did. The best one I had, photoshopped and all.
Sparkle on the tooth.
Yeah, whitened my teeth a little bit, got it all done. But it all worked out. A lot of phone calls first, ended up dating.
Where was she from?
Oh, she's born in the Philippines, raised in Hawaii, and then she moved to California after college. She's a nurse. And so now she actually still works per diem at Stanford as a nurse. And so that's what works for our schedules, that 2 weekends a month she goes and works at the hospital, and then I go and shoot the pro sports. So that's what we're doing on weekends. But I know
that's a full weekend.
I know we have busy lives. We joke about this has to calm down eventually.
But your wife's name, you mentioned?
Elaine.
Elaine.
Yeah, my friends joke, like Eddie wanted to say in his speech at our wedding that, you know, I'm a Seinfeld nut. So it just kind of fits that I met a girl named Elaine. So anyways, though, can't say enough good things about my wife, one of the sweetest women I know. But we went to Italy, October. October of last year and November.
Mm-hmm.
And went to Positano, went to Rome, Florence, and then Venice. We had fights about how many pictures I was supposed to take and not take because she wanted me to still be romantic and enjoy the gondola ride in Venice.
And to put the camera down.
Right, right. But it's funny because you know how women are. I'm talking to women right now, but they want the picture on the gondola ride of the two of you, but then they don't want you to take a picture either so you can be romantic. So, you know.
But Venice is one of those cities. You don't even have to be a pro photographer. You just take your camera and point it anywhere, and you're going to get a good photo. So now I want to see what you took.
What's funny about Venice, too, though, it was the last leg of our, you know, the last stop of our trip.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so tired by the time I got to Venice. Like, I was excited on the first day because I'm like, this is a crazy place. You know, like the way, you know, the water and the getting on boats to get anywhere you needed to. But then I was like, I'm ready to go home, you know, because it was... It was like, you know, 2.5 week trip. You know, I haven't done anything that long ever out of country before. So I think, you know, Positano was definitely the most relaxing place, you know, coastal in Italy. I love that. And then Florence was pretty nice too. Rome is very crowded, but I made a big giant book for my wife's birthday.
Oh, good.
Of all the pictures. And so that's a huge hit when anyone comes over to our house. They seem to all end up looking at our Italy book. So it's like 200 pages of photos.
Oh, my
photos.
Goodness. Well, it sounds like you redeemed yourself.
Yes.
And Elaine ended up being happy with the end result.
Yeah.
Well, thank you again for coming in and for being a person who is very, you know, you're a perfect example of somebody who was here at Fresno State and you loved your experience here. And then that you came back and you're doing such great things. You make us so proud. And we're really happy to have you here and to have you as a part of our campus.
Cool. It's great being here.
Thanks for being on the show with us. Thanks again to our very special guest, Fresno State University photographer Carrie Edmondson. And of course, my co-host, Fresno State's First Lady, Mrs. Mary Castro. Thanks for joining us this morning, and please join us again next Sunday morning at 10 for another First Lady's Focus on KFSR. We're on the air at 90.7 FM and streaming worldwide at www.kfsr.org.
KFSR presents First Ladies Focus every Sunday morning at 10. For a complete program schedule, visit KFSR.org.